On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Well, how are you? This is the spot, the place where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, the responses are never dull. Today, we're going to Australia. We're going to meet Kay Russell. Kay is a business strategist. Her philosophy and her tagline is freedom to thrive. Okay, are we afraid to be free? Are we free to be afraid? You have to be a risk taker in business. You know, you look at some of the greatest achievers, Bill Gates, Oprah Winfrey, Jay-Z, Snoop Dogg. You look at these mega people making all of this money, but what they had to do is they had to walk by faith and not by sight. And you also need to put in a strategy. You have to have a plan. You can't just throw spaghetti against the wall and expect for it to stick. So you got to work with a trusted professional, somebody like Kay, that's been there, that's done that, that can show you options, that can create a roadmap for you to travel. We're going to talk to her about that and a whole lot more. Welcome to the show, Kay.
Hi, April. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited with this.
I'm excited to have you too. I just love my Aussies. I love you guys. You've been so gracious and so kind to me. I know everybody down there. I was supposed to come back to Australia, but COVID hit. And I tell you, you guys were locked down like Fort Knox. I thought you could even get out and breathe. But now things have opened up and a new window of opportunity. So I can't wait to come down there. What would I have to look forward to in meeting you personally, Kay?
Well, I live out on acres, so I've got lots of sunshine and green grass and fresh air. So, we were lucky during shutdown, actually, because we're on acres. We could get out of our house, we could exercise, do everything. We were a lot better off than most people. So that was a bonus for us. So, yeah, we're in the western area of Sydney, New South Wales, Australia. It's a beautiful summer day out here today. So
well, it's beautiful. I've been to Sydney. But during that time, during COVID and everybody was shut down, you know, the whole work paradigm shift.
Completely.
And we have this thing here and people are still going through it. It's called quietly quitting or the great resignation.
Mm-hmm.
People figured out how they could work from home. They could homeschool. They could probably make more money because they could shut down a brick and mortar. They didn't have gas. They didn't have childcare expenses. What did you learn as a business strategist to help people make that pivot and make that shift?
The whole shutdown was a complete transition for me. I've been in a professional government engineering role for about 23 years. And when the shutdown happened, all government departments shut down. We had to learn to work from home. It was a total transition period from getting on a train every morning, busting ourselves into the city, then trying to get home to cook dinner for our children. But the shutdown made us realize that even though it was horrible, we lost contact with people, there was a lot of mental anguish through the shutdown, it also opened a lot of doors for a lot of people. We realized that we don't need to be busting ourselves on a train every morning trying to get into the office. We can work from home. We can be just as productive from home as in an office. And that also opened other doors. Well, if I can work from home in my 9-to-5 job, what else can I do from home? So that was sort of where I started redirecting my energy into, do I want to be doing this job for 23 years? Because it's not giving me that ambition and that drive that it used to. And that's when I started looking at other online spaces and ways that I could use my engineering skills and my people skills to help other people to see what I can see and the potential that you have for working at home and building your family's future at home.
Exactly. But also what businesses had to come to terms with is how do you reward and recognize an employee from home? Now, you're there in your cubicle or in your office. They can pretty much have an eagle-eye view of what you're doing and how you're doing it. So as a business strategist, you also have to work with employees because they have to get used to this new norm. How do I report back to my manager or my supervisor what I'm really doing? Can they really see my productivity? You know, a girlfriend of mine has a big high-end insurance company, and she had to get software to really see how long her employees were online, what they were actually doing, because it could be the flip side of that too. I mean, you could be sitting there eating bonbons, watching Netflix, and working 2 hours a day.
True, that's exactly true.
So as a business owner, you know, what do you say to them to maybe groom or prepare their employees for this hybrid workspace of working from home? Does that make
I think,
sense?
well, there was always a lot of scope. I mean, within my business environment, you're not always sitting at a desk anyway, typing out your reports or answering phone calls. There's still those moments of walking around, communicating with other people. You know, you're in the kitchen making a coffee for 10 minutes. You're having a chat to someone about work, life. So when you're in an office environment, it wasn't always sitting at your desk. And I think that is, again, is another transition. When you're at home, you're not always sitting at your desk, typing out your reports. Those coffee moments now become different sorts of moments within your home environment. And I think as an employer, you need to realize that there is that change of working life. And as an employer, you need to be able to say, okay, these are the tasks that you are set. As long as those tasks are being done, the performance meets your KPIs. In government, KPIs are all a big thing. Mm-hmm. KPIs, you know, you get your jobs done, and reports coming in from your clients are promising and they're getting all they want, then honestly, you've got productive staff. Mm-hmm. They're just not doing it the way they used to do it.
Right, right, right. So again, you don't have to be the helicopter employer.
Okay. No.
The micromanager, they used to use that word a lot, you know, who's micromanaging, but that's all subjective.
Definitely.
Some people check your productivity. Some people check your phone calls. Some people check, you know, your dot your I's and cross your T's. How many people did you convert? It's a different mindset.
Yes.
It's a different expectation for the employer and the employee. It is a transition time. It's not the day of old.
No, completely not.
So when you say freedom to thrive, how do we thrive in this type of environment?
By doing what it is you've always dreamed of.
Mm.
So, I mean, as kids, we have dreams. We want to be a ballerina or a fireman or something like that. But as we start to grow and we fit into that normal life cycle of a 9-to-5 job, you go to school, you go to uni, you have your 9-to-5, you have your family, then you plan for your retirement. As we start to go through that and we start to realize that what happened to those dreams as my when I was a kid, they just get pushed to the side. So by being able to thrive is being able to realize what were those dreams and realign yourself to develop those dreams and actually fulfill them. Currently, I mean, my children are now teenagers, so I've got a bit more flexibility. I don't need to be there. I don't need to be a hover parent anymore. They've got
Right.
their own lives. So I've got that scope to start reinventing myself for what I wanted before is now what I can have now. So by thriving is to reinvent yourself, re-engineer your life to meet those dreams that you always had but could never reach.
But also bring someone along with you.
Oh, yes.
You know, I'm 61 years old. Every time I say that, girl, it makes my afro fluff. But I think about that. It is time to mentor.
Mm-hmm.
It is time to pour this knowledge and wisdom into the next generation. Their whole work environment and work ethic is far different than what ours was.
Yes.
They don't even expect to pull up to your parking space at a brick and mortar. They want to work directly from the device.
Mm-hmm.
They don't communicate like they used to. They want it in bits and bytes. They do not want a whole bunch of, you know, linear language.
That's right.
They expect top dollar.
Yes.
And a lot of them aren't going to uni here in the United States anymore like they used to. I
No.
say that it's overrated. You know, you spend 4, 6, 8 years, unless you're going to be an attorney or a doctor, in a classroom environment and never have practical application to what you're going to do in the real world. There's so many entrepreneurs. You
Yes.
have experience in that. Tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial ventures and, you know, building teams and building morale in that type of environment.
So I've always been in a team environment. As I said, 23 years in the engineering department, you're always working with people. So by working with different personalities, I've sort of developed a skill at being able to build those relationships in different ways to help these people and to meet their requirements in a business sense. So now I'm transitioning into an online space. I see that this is the new norm, honestly. Doing everything, as you said, doing everything online these days is the new norm.
Absolutely.
It's on, online marketing is just booming, especially with women throughout the world. So I'm taking those skills that I've used. So being an engineer is about investigating a problem and solving it. So with those skills, I now am finding people who want to work in my team, finding out what their problems are, and building a solution to those problems. My solution is a business model that just helps people realize those dreams, how to thrive, how to provide their families with a future financially. That's what I am doing now in building a team and helping people realize how I can help them.
It's so hard to build generational wealth. It
Yes.
used to be, again, the millennials. I was talking to my daughter, and I was saying, "Oh, you know, that's a nice piece of land." She says to put a tiny house on. They don't want the big brawling estates. They don't want the acreage. They don't want the gas guzzler. They want mass transit or an electric vehicle. How, as parents, because you're a parent,
Yes.
are we shifting to help accommodate our children in this new environment? It's very different from us. Very
Is.
different. What are you seeing with your kids, and how are you kind of coasting them into some sort of direction? Because we don't know where it's gonna, you know, be with AI and all that. We don't know how to form that. And as an engineer, you're also very analytical, you know. So, what's your strategy on that?
I think we completely underestimate these younger generations. When I look at my daughter and my son, my daughter's got her head screwed on more so than I ever could have. She knows exactly where she wants to go. She knows exactly how she's going to get there. She has her life planned out. When I was 18, I was unemployed and just looking for a way to have fun. So I think these generations, even though they're driven by their phones and what's on the computer and TikTok and things, they still have this ability to see how they're going to get there. It's not, they're not really looking for a free way to get through life. They've still got this drive. And I mean, I think back when I was in primary school, the big thing, I remember when ATMs were money machines came in, and it was all everyone thought, oh my goodness, the banking system is going to just drop out. How is anything going to function now that we don't need banks? We can get our money from a machine. The same thing is happening now. We're using AI in our phones. It's just a gradual transition of society. And I think these younger generations realize this. It's not the end of the world, it's a transition of society. And I think they've got the know-how to make it work and keep society functioning without everybody falling off the bandwagon.
I love that. I love that. That made a lot of sense. All right, you're in engineering. What do you think about this AI, artificial intelligence? People are afraid of it. I remember when the cell phone changed. I was of the day when it was a big brick, and now it was, you know, now it fit in the palm of your hand. I would talk to my mother and I say, "Oh, you know, let's do a video chat with your sister." "Oh, no. I don't want to get in front of that thing. It's the devil, you know.
Yeah.
So it's different, but artificial intelligence is going at a rapid pace. I'm a little concerned because so many people have their hands in it. When they were developing a cell phone or when they were developing Microsoft or these computers, you had engineers such as yourself. I don't know what exactly type of engineer you are, but you had a group or a team that would consort together. Now you've got Aunt Martha. You've got anybody that can say anything, put this into this database and create images, music, videos, text. How do we work harmoniously with something that is moving so fast, like AI?
Yeah, no, I definitely understand the concerns, and I think a lot of that might be driven by the good old Hollywood movie scene. I mean, for the last 20 years, we've been fed movies where AI takes over the world, and that we're all end in this
Right, right, right,
apocalyptic
right.
scene.
Right, right. I can think of two movies that I've seen like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I mean, there's always going to be someone who pushes the envelope that little bit too far. And I think as a society, we just need to keep check on those things. I use AI at the moment with my online business, and I can tell you it saves me so much time writing copy and stories and things. It's a check thing. I put my details in, it goes through it. You could change it to be like this. I mean, there are definite bonuses to AI. It just has to be monitored and kept in check that it doesn't overrule our lives. It's there to help our lives. And I think
It
that's the
scares
very
me.
fine line.
Scares me sometimes. I went to my girlfriend's house and she got tons of money. The cotton picker refrigerator told her she was out of milk.
Ah, yes.
I was like, oh, what? That's crazy. Or I'll be at my other friend's house and you'll say something and Siri will answer you. I'm like, I'm not talking to you, machine. Oh, I apologize. And it's very weird. But we have to
Yeah,
get used to it because that's where we are.
I
And in
think so.
hindsight, we're probably decades behind other civilizations. I believe in other earthly, I mean, well, not earthly, but other beings in the
Yeah.
universe. Do you believe in that?
Oh, completely. They're up there watching us going, why are these people taking so long to get on with the whole show?
Exactly. So since we changed the subject, let's ask some fun questions.
Okay.
If you could pick a planet, which planet would you be from?
I think Venus. I love the color of Venus, that blue hone. It looks so calming and soothing. Apparently it was similar to Earth, so
We'll see.
at one point in time, but yeah, I've always liked Venus.
I'd be from Pluto. Way
Okay.
out
Yeah,
way out there, just trying to figure it out. If you were an appliance in the kitchen, hey Russell, what appliance would you be?
I think a coffee machine,
A coffee
perking
machine.
up all that caffeine to keep people driven and going. That's me, coffee machine.
I'm gonna be the spice grinder today. I changed my day today. I just want to spit, I just want to mix it up, put a little cilantro in it, that's
Go
good.
for it. Sounds
If
great.
you were an animal, what animal would you choose to be?
I've got a thing for horses. I think horses have an amazing life, and they're a lot more in tune with what we're doing and people than we give them credit for. They're a very intelligent animal, so I would definitely be a horse.
Be a horse. I'd probably be an elephant.
Okay.
Because they travel in prides, they're good parents. I aspired one day to maybe be a vegetarian. They're vegetarians. They never forget, they're strong. So
I
I love
don't.
those. If you had three magical wishes, anything,
Oh.
what would they be?
Okay. I've always wanted to fly. I remember those childhood dreams of flying, so that being able to fly. Having that tropical getaway that's in the middle of nowhere that no one knows about, that I can just click my fingers and I'm there. And number three, what would that be? Oh, I know. An endless supply of shoes.
Oh my God.
Yes, please.
It. I love it. What would you tell a 25-year-old Kate Russell? What would you say to yourself at 25?
Oh my goodness, at 25, I was a lost soul, I'll tell you. Get off your backside, look at your life. There is so much out there. What are you doing? Go and do it. So, yeah.
That's amazing. I look back at 25. I was partying like a rock star. I was having a good time too. Would I want to be 25 again? No.
No.
But I was in a good space. I was pretty mature, still having fun. But again, what was the expectation? I didn't go to university. I had high school education, but I always had great jobs. I was always able to network. I always took a, course here or there, but I wasn't dedicated. Maybe I would tell myself, buckle down a little bit harder, because I know I could have been a lawyer, I could have been a doctor. I've got that. But my goal was to be a communicator. When you realized your it factor and your superpower, how old were you, do you think?
It was only basically when I started this business. I thought my it power was being an engineer with the government. And it's taken me over 20 years to realize that was just paying the bills. My it factor is working with people, helping them to be where I am, to see what I see, and to, as I said before, reach those dreams that they thought were gone. They lost sight of, to revision themselves into what their lives could actually be. So that's my new it.
So you've been able to revamp yourself and rebrand yourself. So
Completely.
you're currently working with clients. Tell us a little bit about your program.
So the business model I'm working with, it helps train people on how they can realign what they're doing in a business to work with a high ticket product. And from this product, you can set yourself and your family up for the rest of their lives. So, as I said before, I help them re-engineer their life by realizing their previous dreams, how they can use this business model to fulfill those dreams. So we work together as a team. We work together. We have regular meetings. So there is a huge community that we all work together. And you don't get that same community. Well, I didn't in my business, in my 9 to 5 government job. The community, I think, makes all the difference when you're in any business. That support factor just keeps you going to know that there are other people who have the same mindset and the same drive that you do makes all the difference in any business you're in. And so that's what's driving me, and that's what's driving me to help other people see what I can see.
Absolutely. And there's three key factors in there. One is education. You've got to be sharp at your game. I tell people that all the time. Don't wait for outside influences. Read the book for yourself. That could be religion, that could be education, that could be relationships, whatever it is. Read that for yourself and get your own understanding. The second thing is partnership. Align with individuals, like you said, that are on your team. That is your tribe, brains. You are what you eat. You are
That's
who you
it.
hang around. I hang around big ballers, shot callers, absolutely. And I'm right up there with them. They immerse you, you learn from them. I was talking to my girlfriend that, was the one with the gazillion dollars. And I said, what if you lost everything tomorrow? What would you do? She said, I would go in there and put on those red bottom shoes. She probably brought them from UK. She put on those red bottom shoes, a nice pencil skirt, and go hang out where she hung out before. And I said, really? I said, you wouldn't feel, down or depressed? She said, no, because I have to get back on that horse and ride it. I have to stay consistent. That's the third recipe for success. You've got to be consistent. You've got to show up. People are counting on you. And the biggest person that's counting on you is a person called self.
Yes.
You have education, partnership, and consistency. And I think those are a recipe for success. Would you agree?
Oh, completely. It's those moments of self-doubt that you need that community behind you to lift you up again and redirect you back into where you're going. And the energy from people who are like you need to be around those people. You need to get rid of all these naysayers and the negatives. Hang around people who are oozing that energy of motivation and drive. That's how you keep going in your business.
Right. And you just can't wait for other people to do it for you because your plan is not their plan and their
No.
plan is not your plan.
That's right.
Don't be envious and jealous of other people. Just mimic what other successful people have done. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. They've
No, not at
already done
all.
it. They've already
Exactly.
done it.
Automation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go in and check out AI. Don't be afraid of it.
No.
Don't let it become who you are, every nano thing you have to depend on it, but use it as a tool.
Yes.
You have been such a wealth of information. Okay.
I've
Thank you
loved every
so much.
moment.
I enjoyed this so much. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, how they can work with you, if there's any special programs, if there's some other, freedom to thrive opportunities they can connect with you on. How do they do that?
You can find me on Facebook on K Russell. That's KAYE underscore Russell. I also have a website, www.krussell.com. You can find some great information on there about the business model and how I can help you realize your dreams and re-engineer your life.
Well, brains, you're learning from an expert. This woman is in STEM. She wants to be able to fly on the back of a horse and drink coffee
And have lots of shoes.
and lots of shoes. I absolutely love
Oh,
it. Thank you so much, brains. Please do your due diligence, what you promised, that you're going to go in, you're going to like, love, share, and subscribe. You're going to go in, you're going to look at Kay's information. You're going to connect with her, have a consultation with her. You don't know what you don't know. The freedom to thrive, but it all starts with that first step. And so we're hoping that it's down to Australia. Thank you, Brains. Thank you, Kay.
thanks, April.
Have a good one.